Glory Days, the best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim
on Radio Nova.
Welcome along, folks, to another Glory Days.
Glory Days.
Actually, is this the last? No, is it? No, this is not the last one before our holidays, is it?
No, we've one more. We definitely, next week. Yeah, we're here to sort of say farewell to everyone as we head off for a couple of weeks and hopefully survive as Jim McCabe goes off to nice places, venturing like someone who still tolerates his horse shit. And I plough my lonely way around.
You'll be doing some sort of exotic carry-on somewhere, will you?
Yeah, probably in Cork or Sligo or Dundalk or somewhere like that.
Do you know something? I think one of the things that we should have proposed for you, with, like, you know, maybe a television show. Remember we were saying that you kind of get those people who kind of, they always manage to blag themselves a television show that you think, well, how in the name of God would you, like, you know, whatever, Joanna Lumley's Australia or...
Yeah.
Somebody else's blooming and it's European adventure. And you're like, so basically they're just going to film you having a massive holiday.
Yeah, and it's always like people who aren't famous for doing that thing.
Yeah.
You know, like they never get... Like if someone was going to space, they wouldn't ask, you know, your man, whatever his name is, Chris... What's that fella's name?
Rock.
He's an astronaut anyway. But they'd ask... They wouldn't ask him. They'd get Stephen Fry or something.
Yeah.
And send him to space and he'd be like, yeah, this is, what's the reference point?
They don't just pick a geography teacher.
No, they don't.
To go around.
Like you said.
Visiting countries.
Joanna Lumley does a niece. You're like, what's, how do they put those two things together?
Yeah.
You know, like, why don't they just have...
You see, with you, it would have been fantastic. Because you would have had the opportunity, kind of, like, now, I don't want you to take this literally, but, you know, similar to the sort of an idiot abroad kind of idea.
Yeah.
Now, but it's kind of like, you'd have a very unique take, let's say, on what would be considered, you know, culturally appropriate in the specific countries that you visited.
I suppose, yeah, that's true, yeah.
You know, you'd have a different sort of insight.
Yeah, because I've travelled quite a lot and now I couldn't be arsed, so it would have to be like really, different.
You could show them the error of their ways.
Do you reckon? Imagine that. Imagine that, like, travelling around the world telling people what you think they should be doing.
Yeah. Now, if that's not an idea for a television show, I don't know what
wouldn't
is.
Wouldn't that be great? I'd actually watch that. Some lad from a chipper going into a Michelin restaurant saying, now I'm going to show you the right way to do it, okay? None of this fancy foo-foo shit. Right?
Yeah.
We're going to spatter some burgers here. We're gonna
people are hungry, you know.
Yeah. If it doesn't come in batter, it doesn't come out. It's that simple. It would be brilliant if flips don't things on their head.
That's
like that.
That's exactly
it?
The way it should be. And it's because I remember that time you told me about when you were in Japan.
Yeah.
Was it Japan? Anyway, wherever. Where somebody claimed, somebody who was part of your party, claimed to speak the language. Do you remember that?
It was actually in Hong Kong.
Is that where
it was? We were getting our visas to go to China.
Yeah.
Because we needed our work permits to do the gigs there. And we were in this, the communist headquarters things. You have to collect your visas in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
And we were walking around the building and I was there to a woman. I need to a visa for 4 days or whatever it was, mainland China. And she's like, hadn't a clue what I was saying.
Yeah.
And then your man beside the English guy goes, no, you have to speak Chinglish, she said. You have to sort of...
He didn't say that.
You have to say it in their accent. And I went, I'm not doing it. I'm not walking around the Chinese embassy going, hello, can you... I'm not doing it. I am not doing it.
Yeah.
That is not happening, like. And he goes, no. And then he looked at her and he goes, visa for the mainland China. And he gave the name. And then she goes, well, why didn't he say it? That's what she said. And I was like, this is the most ludicrous. I was like, I'm not doing this. Bananas, yeah.
Was there a story or was it just urban legend that a judge once asked that in a court case if somebody spoke a language like German or something? Or
I don't know. I remember a man that did Nelson Mandela's funeral and he spoofed up he could do sign language and he couldn't do it. Yeah, and he just stood on the side of the stage just moving his hands around as everyone was talking so he could get a payday. But he couldn't actually
joking.
Do it. Yeah, yeah.
Internationally televised event.
Internationally televised event, and he hadn't a clue what he was doing. He was just doing like charades. Sounds like freedom.
Yeah. Or do you?
Yeah.
Or like a tic tac man on a race course. 4-1.
Yeah.
On number 7.
4-1. Yeah. Resuscitation, reincarnation, whatever. Yeah. It's crazy stuff.
Oh my God.
And I've always wondered as well, because you know when you have, I've learned Spanish for a while, right?
Yeah.
I love learning a bit of Spanish. And you have to learn it in the Spanish accent. Like,
yeah.
You have to do it, you know. So, because they won't understand. So you have to, like, you can't say, dos cervezas for,
mi
amigo, Jimmo, por favor. You can't, it has to be, you know, dos cervezas, por favor. Yeah. Por mi, mis amigo. You know, you have to do it that way. Like, but it never works the other way. Do you know, like, you never see the Spanish coming over here. I'm like walking around. Yeah, is anyone got a change of a tenner?
All right, Tony. 2 points when you're ready. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He goes home. How was Ireland? Oh, you shut your hole, you. I'm after being over there freezing for 3 months.
Like, you're right, they don't seem to embrace the Irish accent quite as much.
Not to the same level, yeah. It doesn't seem to have it, yeah.
But I still like the idea, though, of you setting off telling people where they're, you know, the error of their ways. You know, like telling them that they're just wrong in various kind of pursuits that they have.
Who am I to tell anyone what's wrong? Like,
I think it'd be worth a crack. Especially if I was there to monitor it all the time. That's the most important thing, is that I blag something out of it.
Isn't it funny, though, the way you do start to think you're an expert in stuff of really, really fast?
Yeah.
Like, the other day, for the first time in my life, and maybe the last time ever, I went to a Michelin star restaurant, you know. And it was, I don't know, how many courses is it again? You did it as well. 10 or
God,
something.
Yeah, it must be 10.
Must be 10 courses. They bring it out. And by the time they brought out the pigeon legs, which was course number 7 or something, I had decided I was a restaurant critic of the highest order, you know. So I'm there with a pigeon leg in my mouth, sucking a little bit of meat off, you know, like this, and drinking the wine. I was like, not the best, I thought. Oh, man, that was, the person next to me going, I would have to say the raspberry round thing was better. Like, it's amazing.
Also, the thing is, you know, when you do, and like we did the other thing, when we were in Powers Court, right?
Yeah.
And you find yourself, when you're talking to people, and you suddenly adopt as though you know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
You do the thing where you're going, oh, yeah, now, it's beautiful the way that goes with it. The acidity that's coming from the wine there is cutting through the creaminess of the cheese.
And she's telling you and all. And you're like, yes.
And I'm getting you know when people do that thing? I'm getting kind of vanilla.
Oh, the worst is when they ask you. They're like, you know, what are you getting off that? You're like, bacon? They're like, there's no bacon in it. It's wine.
Yeah. That's the trouble, you see. Nobody thinks of the stuff that's supposed to be in it. Right,
so
if they asked you and I'd be, you know, we'd be thinking taste. You're going, what am I getting? Am I getting, like, what is it? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
What is that taste? But you never think of turning around and going, I'm getting leather. What?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow, yeah. I'm getting... leather and forest stick. That's what I'm getting from it.
That's what I'm going to do.
That's the only way you get away with that stuff.
The next time I'm in a fancy place like that, I'm going to, like, because the last time I had wine was out of a box in about 1998, sitting in a field. And then I'm sitting there in this restaurant and I'm doing the whole swishing it around and smelling it and all that. And next time I'm doing it, I'm going to go, needs a bit of salt, please. Bit of salt and pepper, thank you.
Yeah.
It'll bring it to life, you know. Couple of cubes of ice and a bit of salt and pepper, imagine.
Because, like, how do these people dream stuff up? Like, that restaurant, right? When if you do the non-alcoholic, the non-wine, you do the non-alcoholic tasting version.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, they do things like, you know, these cocktails or whatever. And there's, like, burnt hay and stuff in it.
Burnt hay?
Burnt hay. And it's in the glass, like bits of floating burnt hay.
And you're supposed to eat it. You see, I wouldn't know what to do with that.
You see, I wouldn't either. And so I didn't have it. That's why I went for the alcohol. But anyway.
Yeah.
No, but I'm just saying, like, how do you dream? How would somebody dream up something like that? If you're putting together a cocktail and somebody says,
if
I put in some burnt hay.
Burnt hay, yeah.
Yeah. And actually some, some cinders and a little bit of skid mark from the front driveway.
Oh, yeah, but it needs a... Just a dipped shoelace for a while. Just, you know, in and out. Like a tea bag. Just in and out. Like a light. No problem. And it's gas. And you go to these fancy places as well. And like this, I was sitting there and there was, oh, the one good thing about it was it wasn't dressed. Like the whole table was very simple.
Yeah.
So it was just literally a white tablecloth, one knife, one fork. That was it. So they changed it every time you bring a course. And then they brought out two little pieces of bread at the start.
Right.
And the person that was with going, "Jeez, I don't know what to do." I said, "Well, it's fucking one knife and a piece of bread. I mean, like, what do you fucking
have a guess? Have a guess. Go mad.
Use whatever you see. See if you get it wrong. See if you get it fucking wrong. Anything. Just you go mad." And I was all cocky. And I ate the whole bread thing. And then they came down with the butter yolk, which was supposed to be the fancy. You know, they go, "This is butter." And then they realised I'd already eaten all the bread. And they were like, "I'll just get you another one." I was like, "Oh, shit." I was like, "Oh, God." Like, obviously, the bread wasn't the best bit. It was just some sort of fancy butter that,
And you do find yourself getting so self-conscious, like.
Oh, big time.
Because even when you do those tasting things or whatever, like, we were doing a similar thing, as I say, on the Friday, right? And I missed it, Horn.
Yeah.
I don't know how I missed it. I was paying attention and I was keeping up and whatever, but I ended up with the wrong fucking whiskey for the wrong thing.
Oh, you did, yeah.
And I had a whiskey left over.
That's
and
brilliant.
Stuff. And it was, I had to go back on it.
You had to go back.
So you were having the chocolate slimes. I had to go back.
Jim was still there with the pepperonis or cheese or something.
And you get all self-conscious. You think you've like, instead, this is a wonderful experience, and suddenly you're like, "Oh, jeez, I'm about to embarrass myself." Look at me with the wrong whiskey, with the wrong cheese.
This is it. When we did the thing with the bread, she left a little bit of bread over, and then the very next course was this sort of avocado-y spready thing. It was like a tempura thing, whatever. And there was a bit left, and I was there going, "Do you think I could use the bread to rub it around?" And she was there, "Yeah, I'll keep sketch. As if we were going to be like getting truck, you know.
You do have to question whether you're in the right environment when somebody's keeping sketch.
Yeah, because
while you're eating your
dinner, you're dipping your bread. Like, you're paying hundreds of quid for the pleasure of being in the kip, and then you're too afraid to eat a bit of bread off the table.
Keep sketch.
I'm going to pretend I'm tying me lace.
Actually, just speaking of fancy food, right? We were talking on the show during the week. Actually, one of the best bits that we have for you is the amount of times that happens that you eat something and you've no idea what it's called or what it is. Or anything like that. The amount of stuff that we kind of hear about or is on menus or whatever, and none of us know.
Haven't a clue.
What it actually is.
Sure, we were eating horse burgers for 20 years and didn't even know it.
So you'll get to hear that again. Speaking of horse.
Yeah.
We ended up having a chat about those times when, I suppose, when you're genuinely telling the truth, you are telling the truth.
But it's too unbelievable,
Nobody believes you.
No one takes it
for real. Nobody believes you. And one of my favourite people, despite the fact that I've never met the man, one of PJ's good mates, came into the conversation as well. So you'll get to hear that as well. Also, on the subject of names and stuff, there was a situation where somebody unfortunately naming a stand. The football club unfortunately named a stand after a mass murderer.
Yeah.
Which is just, as I say, unfortunate. But it did lead us down an unusual path.
Yeah, it did, yeah. Yeah, there were great names. Like, you know, be careful who you fall in love with.
That's
the
motto.
Make sure it's a choice.
Yes, exactly. Make sure. And also, Rod Stewart featured on the show during the week. Well, not really featured, I suppose. He was on holiday, and he made it a family holiday. He
took away the kids.
Yeah, yeah. It's just
his kids are like pretty much knocking on the door, getting the bus pass.
They're older than us.
Yeah,
some of them. Anyway, so listen, have a listen to some of the best bits from during the week. We'll talk to you very shortly.
Glory Days, the best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim
on Radio Nova.
This woman, she's a journalist from Brazil, and she uses her Kindle, you know, to relax and after a day's work and writing scandal or whatever she does. She sits down and she likes to read on her Kindle. And she posted up a video online, actually, of these. She went to her Kindle and there was ants managed to get inside it.
Ants.
Yeah, they got inside the Kindle. So she has this like video of the ants sort of running in and out of the charging port and them all covered the screen and the whole lot. And she's like, whatever, like, you know, you bat them off or hopefully they crawl out or something. But then she realised that the ants had bought books on her Amazon account. And she didn't want the books.
Any particular, were they ant-related
wouldn't
titles?
Wouldn't you love to know?
Was it a biography of Adam?
Ant Sylvania. Yeah, yeah, I know, yeah. So they don't tell us what books they bought, but they bought books on her Amazon account. And she, of course, tried to contact Amazon and says, I didn't buy those books. Amazon, or ants did. And they don't believe a word of it. Like, well, it's the most ludicrous story
ever. If somebody said to you, no, it wasn't me, it was the ants. What?
I know,
ants
yeah.
Did it, did they? Ants operated your Amazon account to buy a couple of books. Ants are interested in that, are they?
I know, you'd be like, I suppose the dog ate your homework as well. It's up there with the bus broke down. Like, some, you just, you'd never.
Yeah. It's the ultimate in a big boy did it and ran away.
It really is, yeah.
It wasn't me.
But she swears it is and she can't win it because nobody believes her story. And that's what you're saying. Truth is stranger than fiction. I think, actually, we all have some story like that.
Because to be fair, that is, like, there's no way that, I mean, there's just no way you'd believe it. I mean, to be fair, you'd say, okay, bit of creativity.
Yeah.
You know, wasn't trying to claim, oh, somebody did it by accident or, you know, somebody stole it or whatever. Ants create, you know, did it. But, like, you'd go, that's ridiculous.
Yeah,
get
I know.
Off the stage. Just pay for the blooming things.
And everybody has these stories. I know someone that says she was sitting in a pub and a fella walked into the pub, right?
Yeah.
Went straight into the toilet and never came out. That's what she's, that's the clear. And there's no, there's only a tiny window that a person could fit through. You know, you hear all these supernatural things.
So,
you know.
So she's claiming that this, and nobody believes that this happened.
Nobody believes that it happened. She swears it happened.
Yeah. That's the thing, actually. How frustrating is it? Like, say that woman, right? It genuinely happened with the ants. How frustrating is it when you're actually telling the truth?
Yeah.
And nobody believes
And nobody
you.
Believes you. People think you're just making up something stupid.
It's like the way I still don't believe you about your mate with the weird ball in his head.
That's happened. Jim McCabe, I swear to God, that happened on my elf in his life. We were walking down the road. It was Christmas Eve.
Yeah, babe. You just wandered out with a drunk tank.
No, we didn't. This is why you won't believe me. This is why you won't. We were I swear to God, we were walking down the road in Belgrove Road in Clontarf, right?
Yeah.
And a ball, like a football of light, came around the corner, no beam now, just an isolated ball of light, came out of a lane, went round the corner, and went into me mate's head, and never came out.
Wow.
You still don't believe me. I swear it happened.
Yeah.
It did.
You're sounding a bit like, you know, that other mate of yours that I love, John.
Yeah, yeah.
You're sounding like, you're not going to believe it, head.
He's like, John, poor old John. He everything goes wrong for him. He's the most unlucky person in the world. And that's why every time you meet him, he starts his conversations with, you're not going to believe what's after happening. Like, we were doing a gig in Vicar Street and a horse robbed his notes on Thomas Street.
Like that's,
yeah, a
you
horse.
See, that's what I'm saying. It's very hard to, but like, you'd say, okay, creative in fairness, rather than saying I lost them or, you know, whatever, they fell down ashore. But a horse.
But he came in, he goes,
a horse, is that? They're taking me notes.
Yeah, he goes, my notes blew out of my hand and a horse stood on them and wouldn't give them back.
wouldn't give them back.
Yeah, he had to come in without his notes. Sir, I don't know what I'm going to do. And he's, the unfortunate thing is, he calls everyone horse. So he's like, the horse took my notes, horse. What am I going to do, horse?
And the best line was when he was explaining that he was actually talking to the horse, going, please,
yeah,
horse.
Please, horse. I have to do a show.
It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
As I say, he is now our official bon viveur. He
Jim.
Only appreciates the good life now, PJ. Basically, if he's not being served the finest of foods and beverages, he's just not happy. And we had a glorious start to the weekend, to be fair. Clint and PJ and myself, we had a fabulous tour and a fabulous time we were dined and we were looked after beyond belief by the fabulous people in the Perris Court Distillery. A great way to start a bank holiday weekend.
I swear to God,
it was just amazing.
Looked after us so well. Like, yeah. We were walking around smiling like Russian billionaires. We were. You want to see it? Oh.
And I can't recommend it enough. The tour, and then if you're doing the sort of lunch tasting thing, just fantastic.
Absolutely.
Just out of this world. And then, of course, that wasn't enough for PJ. No, because then he had to go. The next day, he had to go to a double Michelin star restaurant.
Oh, it was brilliant. I lost my peasant friends, Jim McCabe, and headed off to the high life. You know, I was in Leah, I think it's got a 2-star Michelin restaurant.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, another fantastic lunch thing of tasting and wine and everything. Always drink responsibly.
Always drink responsibly. Oh, I was
and
there.
And all of that sort of stuff. So, but the interesting thing about it is, did he know anything he was eating?
Did I know? No is the answer. But it was absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
But I will say, looking at this story this morning, I understand completely where they come from, right?
Right.
Because you hear a lot of words about food and you don't know what they are. And especially where I was, you know, I'm not sure if they'd let you in, but where I was, they do this thing where they... You know, they explain to you every dish.
Yeah.
You know, so for instance, a pigeon came out, like, or his legs anyway, there's like 2 pigeon legs and all. And they did the claw and the whole lot was on them, like, and everything.
Yeah.
And they were like doing the whole, this pigeon is from France. I was like, thank God he's not from our country. You see the red butts coming out of him and everything. I was like, this pigeon is from France and he was fed on only the best oats and whatever. And of course, he was fed vigevant, which is the side of chicon de pepper. I'm like, I haven't. And I'm nodding along like I know what they're talking about.
Absolutely. Like, well, you don't want to let the side down.
Yeah, yeah.
You always have to chime in with a sort of, oh, right. Yeah, oh, okay.
And then you get the whole, and I'm sure you've noticed as you put the pigeon into your mouth that the ambient du chaud in the wine. it complements it perfectly to a stage of, I would say, and you're like, I haven't a clue.
Just in case anybody thinks that the radio's gone funny, none of these words are real, are they? That's just PJ's impersonation of words.
Jim, excuse me, that's exactly what he said.
Well, it turns out you're not alone.
I'm not alone.
Out we're all in the same boat here.
And
and particularly with one food in specifically, is
with
it?
With seafood, yeah. Apparently when it comes to seafood, less than half of the people in the world know what they're talking about. Like, only 40% of people know what Gravidax is, which I didn't until I read it, I'll be honest with you.
And that's a fish of some sort, is it? Or seafood of some sort?
Philistine, Jim.
What is it?
It's cured salmon. With dill white. Oh, it's Gravalax, is it?
I don't know.
I said Gravidax, did I? Oh, sorry, Jim. Gravidax.
Is there a D in it anyway? Is it a silent D?
That's beside the point.
Right. Because that's on the menu up in the Roundwood Inn for years.
And you don't.
And I've never known what it was.
You see, this is what it is. Yeah, yeah. So here now you know it's cured salmon with dill white. Dill. Well, I thought he said gambas was in it. No, that's a different one. Gambas is prawns cooked in garlic. I knew that.
Did you?
I did know that. Gambas.
Okay.
Yeah,
I wouldn't know.
You never
that.
Get enough of them. Don't order it. They give you about 5 prawns full of oil. You never get enough of them. What else is there? Creviche or ceviche? That's raw fish of some.
Clint's having a small breakdown out there. I don't know. You know the way he's a globetrotter?
I know. He's a real foodie. Oh, ceviche.
Of course it is. Make an effort, will you?
Oh,
no wonder you don't know what it is. You're not even saying it right.
I'm so sorry I started the story. Now Clint's looking at me like, oh my God. Yeah. What did you eat for dinner yesterday, pedigree chum?
Yeah. He's like, call yourself a bon vivant. You don't know what. Oh.
Yeah.
God, I think you just got thrown out of the 2 Michelin star club.
I think Clint
just literally ejected you there.
I'd say the door closed.
He was an absolute charlatan.
I'd say when the door closed.
He didn't know his ceviche.
He didn't know his ceviche from his gambas. Yes, but there's a lot of them, like Frito Misto. Apparently
I've heard of that now.
An Italian dish, mussels.
Is that a soup, is it?
A deep fried fish.
Ah, yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Is that a soup? Oh, I've heard of that. The soup. No. Deep fried fish. Oh,
yeah.
That's brilliant. All the laughing you did at me. Oh, yeah. Deep fried soup. I know.
Have we tried that?
No, we haven't actually tried deep fried soup.
We should give that a go, deep fried soup. And now we know the name of it.
Yeah, we do.
But it's not the one you just gave.
Frito Misto. Oh, no, it's not. That's the actual soup. Oh, for God's sake. This is very hard. Yeah, so we don't know. Like, it's just, we haven't got a clue. People don't know that sashimi is just raw fish on its own. They don't know all these things. So seafood menus, I suppose in Ireland, like, we live on an island nation. You'd think we'd be really good.
We're surrounded
with fish. Yeah, and all we know is Captain Birdseye and Donegal Catch. Like, it's a kind of a disgrace, really, you know.
Yeah, and smoked cod.
Smoked cod, yeah.
Smoked cod, fresh cod.
A smoked cod, fresh cod. And if you're over 70...
And some goujons, maybe.
Goujons, or if you're over 77, you still ask for the bit of ray.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
Southend United, the football club, they got new sponsors, right?
Good luck, you'd say.
You'd say very good luck. Yeah, well done getting behind the team. They were relegated not so long ago, and they're hoping to get promoted again. And then local estate agents Gilbert and Rose gave them enough money that they could print off, like, you know, season tickets and cards and everything with the full names of the sponsors on it.
Gilbert and Rose, they were the owners, were they? Or they're the new owners?
They're the new sponsors.
Or the new sponsors.
The new big-time sponsors. Right, and they've named the stand after the sponsors, you know.
Fair play.
The only problem is that their second name is West. So Rose West is now the name of the sponsors, who just happens to be the exact same name of one of the most famous murderers in British history.
Right. And so you're saying they now have a stand called the Rose West Stand?
Pretty much, yeah. And now they don't.
Oh my God.
And now
God.
They're panicking and they have to get rid of it. They have to get it taken back. They have to try and reissue season tickets, and it's a disaster for them.
I mean, you'd imagine your woman herself would have said, look, Sam, mightn't have been the great idea. You know, my name is Rose West. It's probably not the best thing to be sticking on your stand.
Yeah, just leave it at Gilbert and Rose. Nobody has to have the Gilbert and Rose West stand.
The Gilbert and Rose stand would have been grand, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but there you go. Gilbert and Rose West.
Unfortunate.
Oh, very unfortunate.
To say the least.
And like, be careful who you fall in love with too, because you know the way they used to put it in the papers, and you still see it online. People,
what,
like,
wedding announcements?
Yeah, and they give you the double barrel thing. So, like,
tends
maybe
to be high society, doesn't it?
Yeah. So if we got married, it'd be like, you know, PJ Gallagher McCabe, whatever, you know, they do that sort of thing.
Oh yeah, when they do the Gallagher and McCabe wedding, will be taken. Yeah,
all that sort of stuff. Yeah. Well, because some couples have got it so wrong. Like one wedding, the names were Poor and Sap, so it ended up being the.
The Poor Sap Wedding.
Yeah, the Poor Sap Wedding, yeah.
Oh, I love it.
It's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then there was another one called The Stokers Married the Dailies. So it was like Amanda Stoker Daly became one of the names. It just, you see, you just...
Stoker.
You kind of have to...
Stoker Daly.
Yeah, you have to... And there was a Speedy and a Zipper that got married, which is kind of two unusual names anyway. But being married to a guy called Speedy Zipper, it doesn't... You know,
yeah, you know what you're getting into.
Yeah, and the Moors married the Bacon, married into the Bacon family, so Moore Bacon became the name.
That sounds like a fantastic...
That's actually a good one, isn't it?
Moore Bacon!
Yeah, yeah. That's a good one.
All the time.
But then there's like the Loonies. And this is true now, I'm not making this up. This isn't me like having... The Loonies married a family called the Wards. And it's... Mr. and Mrs. Looney Ward.
The Looney Ward wedding.
The Looney Ward.
That sounds like one of the only ones I've ever wanted to go to.
Yeah, yeah.
You want to go to the Looney Ward wedding.
Oh, yeah. And the Long Wee is the other. A Long Wee Wee, look.
The Long Wee Wee engagement.
Yeah, yeah. Long Wee Wee. Some of them are brilliant, you know.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's a brilliant. Look at that one there. The Hardy family married into the Haar family.
Yeah,
so it was the Hardy Haar wedding.
Hardy Haar. Rachel and Dan Hardy Haar wedding.
Oh my God.
And then the Gorys married into the Butcher family. So Gory Butcher. Like, they go on, brilliant.
The Gory Butcher.
Yeah, one
wedding.
Of my favourite ones is the Cockman marrying the Dickman. It's like, you know. That's brilliant.
I think we know where you're going with that one.
Gary Cockman Dickman. What a name. What an amazing name. And look at Bush and Hacker. Bush Hacker. Like, some of these are just... They're like... I can't even say some of them. I'm actually afraid to say some of them on the radio. You know.
Yeah. Except, I mean, but that, I'm sure there's been situations like that in companies or, you know, in any sort of situation. Maybe there's actual wedding situations out there. Maybe there are couples out there who literally had to, you know, it's not so much of an Irish tradition, is it, to announce it in the papers in
advance? Not anymore. We used to do it years ago. I remember.
If two kind of surnames came together and to
collided.
Form one piece of hilarity, like, do let us know. Or if there is another a company out there who got it so wrong and ended up naming their, you know, something after, mass murderer.
But we all grew up with lads who had mad names. I knew, the people, who had... I had a music teacher called Miss Melody. Like, how perfect
was
that?
How did that happen?
You choose your way or something. Anyway, look at that for a wedding. Coming up soon, Jim, if you want to go. The Gross Panty Wedding. I think we'd fit right in.
It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
We were talking about holidays and just saying that if you're, you know, obviously parents will know all too well that, like, you know, there's a certain time, you know, when you're a parent, obviously, that you, and when it comes to holidays, you have to plan the holiday based on the kind of kid's requirements, right?
Oh, of course you do, yeah.
So it's kind of like, you know, if you're only getting, like most people, to be fair, only get the chance at one holiday a year if they're lucky. And so if you're doing the family holiday, you have to plan it around, you know, is there stuff for the kids to do and all that
exactly,
sort of stuff.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
And then it gets to the stage, really, where, you know, maybe the kids get to an age where they don't want to be on with you on holiday. They want to be doing their own
kind of
thing.
They want to go with their own friends
exactly,
and start branching out, yeah.
So that sort of, you know, there's that, you know, tipping point where they sort of might come with you, they might not be into going with you on holiday or whatever. Unless you're Rod Stewart.
He's away with his family now. He's away with Penny Lancaster. She's 51. He's 77. And they've taken the kids away on a trip. They're away now in Italy at the moment, actually. They posted a lovely family photograph yesterday. And he's there with his children, Kimberly, who's 42. Sean, who's 41. Alistair, who's 16. There's a bit of a gap there. But his daughter, his eldest daughter, who is 58, couldn't make it, unfortunately. I guess, they're happy to travel together or whatnot.
Yeah.
But like you said...
It's just the idea of they've presented it as very much he's brought the kids away for a holiday.
Yeah, they have.
Just I mean, and making it sound like, you know... like your typical family holiday where you'd have to say to the kids, look, I'm going to drop you off to the Crocodile Club.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'll come back and collect you when I'm finished, right?
Exactly. So Kimberly and Sean, who are 46 and 42, you can imagine, go in there. I don't want to go in there. I want to drink fizzy drinks and have fun, Dad. Yeah,
we're going down for dinner at 7:30, right? Okay. Can I stay here? No!
Yeah. No, you cannot now. And you're like, please! And then you can eat all the strange foods. That's always a problem for parents, isn't it? The sauce is touching my eggs! Fish fingers taste funny, man!
I suppose when you're, when your dad's a multi-millionaire, I suppose the idea of going on holiday with him probably has a different sort of feel to it.
Yeah, I guess it does.
Than for the rest of us.
I suppose so. And he's going to have sweets and he's going to have all of that and he's going to set everyone up. It won't be like, you know, when you went to Spittle and it lashed rain and this was like the big family holiday. You remember that back in the day and you'd rent a cottage or you'd get one of those hotel rooms where your ma and dad sleep in one and there's the door in between. Remember
yeah,
that?
Yeah.
Into where the kids
and
were.
That's if you were lucky. You might have ended up in where there was like they'd shoehorned in another bed into
that's
a room
right,
that,
the rack
that was
bed.
Only designed for,
yeah,
for two.
Your parents lying on the thing and you're just there in this little rack. Like you're an 8-year-old who's just been sent to prison in Galway. That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
And sleeping in that on your own and all. And then your parents coming in later.
Stepping over you
and all. Your elf has still got the fresh tunes of Perry Como and the fresh breath of Benson and Hedges. You know, you're there going, this is...
It's probably not, you know, like I say, when you're, you know, Rod Stewart's kids... Even if you are 58,
it's probably
going on holiday with your dad, doesn't have quite the same uncoolness.
Yeah, I
that
guess
it might
so.
For the rest of us.
Yeah, yeah,
to be fair.
I imagine.
I mean, like, what is the cutoff point?
That's a good question. I don't really know. I know that my friend, I won't say his name, but his daughters, they started going on their own holidays, and he lost his mind. Now I can only say. he lost his mind.
Really?
Yeah, because she was going away for her first holiday. I think she was just gone. She was 17 when she booked it. She'd be 18 when she was going. Do you know that way?
Right, so.
And he was like, no, I can't deal with it. Peter, I can't deal with it. I'm having a heart attack. I'm having palpitations. He goes, what? Do you know what I'll do? This is what you go. I'll follow her over and I'll say nothing. I would say, you can't do that. He goes, I'll follow her over. I'll stay at a distance and I won't get involved. I said, you were not going to get in anywhere. You're an elfa. You're going bald.
Somebody's going to turn around and point out to her. Do you know there's a weird elf over there wearing like two shorts that are too short?
Yeah.
And
he's got a pair of
Doc Martens, and he's looking at you all the time.
He's never going to take his eyes off you. You're going to get arrested. Walking around sweaty in the sun, keeping tabs on your daughter, wondering why you can't get into nightclubs called Ecstasy Palace or something like that. Stay at home. She'll be fine. You have to let her grow up one way or the other. You know.
That's the weirdest reaction I've ever heard.
Oh, yeah, he was
actually
freaking out.
Actually going to go over there incognito.
Incognito, as if you could. Sit at the back of the plane wearing a pair of shades. You know what I mean? Hello, Sean?
Da, is that you? No.
The old standing there with the newspaper and the two holes cut through it. Like a spy from a 1970s detective movie.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
What am I going to come back with?
That's it there. You should take me on holidays now. Like that. Like Rod Stewart's kid. You should bring me away. Get me some armbands. Put us in the pool of a resort.
That's it.
Like we're
Do you
saying,
reckon I could pass you off as... I could pass you off as my eldest son.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we were saying in the podcast last week. I'd be saying your other half would love it if he says, listen, we have to take PJ. He does it.
Yeah.
Just he's no... He, you know, we can't leave him at home on his own.
Yeah, but actually, that'd be good. If I convinced her that I tell you what, right? It won't be that bad. I'll drop him off to the pool every morning. I'll drop him off to the kids club, right?
Yeah, he'd be grand there.
Yeah, and he can stay, he can do his colouring in, and he can build his blocks and stuff.
Yeah.
And then we'll pick him up we'll give him his dinner, and then we'll have him in bed by 8 o'clock.
It's grand.
To be honest with you, that's the one part that'd be true.
True. Yeah. You'd have me out, I'd be out walking around selling watches for the day while you're lying around the pool. I'd be walking around selling me Bolex watches.
Going around telling people the error of their ways.
Yeah,
you don't want to be cooking it like that.
Oh yeah, sort that out, it's called paella.
Yeah, tell you, I ate in a 2 Michelin star restaurant once. You don't want to be doing that with it.
Yeah, look, I can still taste the pigeon leg.
Of all of the things for you, of all people, to go to a Michelin star restaurant and end up being given pigeon.
Yeah.
Literally, I mean, the gigna is one of the most...
I know.
One of the most synonymous things with you.
I know, the poor little fucker probably died sat on an electric wire with a cigarette in his mouth. And next thing, he ends up on my plate.
The best part, probably it was only the two legs that were left.
That were left.
the electrical current blew the rest off. And somebody came along, I'd be ashamed to waste those legs.
Yeah, I know a fella who'd have them. Doesn't know the difference. Tell him it was a baby turkey.
Right, shall we leave?
Let's leave, so get out of here.
You've been listening to Glory Days, the best of Radio Nova's Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. Catch the show live weekdays 6 to 10 on FM, online at nova.ie, or on the Nova app.